Be still and know, this is our last sermon on this topic. We are going to be heading into a marriage series for the month of February called One Flesh. So, why are you looking at me like that, Tab? Don't look at me like that, Tab. Anyway, wait, what time? Ouch, okay. Man, it's... Where we struggle? Okay, all right. We're going into a marriage series called One Flesh next week. All right, anyway, don't make eye contact with me, Tab. All right. The other day she says, it was about being still and knowing or whatever, and she goes, how do you preach that some days? That's the confidence we have in our spouses, by the way. I said, because I work harder at it. Anyway, thank you, right? Anyway, hey, what are some things that you've learned as you've gotten older? It sucks. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, here's some advice from people over 50 that we gave to younger people. Here we go. Oh, my gosh. This is where we're at today, folks. Oh, my gosh. Focus on experiences, not things. When you look back at the years, you'll remember good times with great people and also visiting great places or attending important events. So search for experiences. That comes from, all these are X's or tweets, you call them. Being thin is not the end all and be all. God bless this person. Eat the piece of pizza. Order the dessert. Yeah, amen. Amen. These people are getting the amen. I wasted so much of my late teens and early 20s obsessing over my weight and the caloric intake, and the thinner I got, the more I hated myself. So eat that piece of pizza there, folks. They were, by the way, in the same list are people who say take care of your body, you're going to need it in the long run. So it's two things here. So it's a balance. It's a balance. Comparison is the thief of joy. Stop comparing your looks, whether you're successful or your happiness, to anyone else. Get off social media and spend less time on it. Right? I found this on the internet, by the way. Right, as he was riding a dinosaur. Even if you don't quit social media entirely, considering taking it off of your mobile devices. Too much time spent on these platforms destroys your attention span and misrepresents how awesome other lives are. It does no good. Wow. I think I got two more. Nobody ever thinks about the things you did, this is the last one, that you found embarrassing or cringeworthy. The only one who remembers those moments is you. And you shouldn't let them define who you are. Right, so, and by, with those 2 o'clock moments where you are remembering something you did back in school, like when you call your teacher mom, like nobody remembers it, right? Nobody remembers it. I never called my teacher mom, but there are people who have. So when somebody wants to share some wisdom with us, we should listen. Especially if somebody is definitely, I'll say, more experienced in life than you are. They've seen things, they have gone through things, and my challenge is we should listen, right? Because most of the time, they're right. Most of the time, they have some wisdom, something they gleaned that they want to share with either us or someone else. So these are all great. I hope you write down some of them or like just take note to them. And so today, we're going to look at someone who is sharing some news, some advice that they've learned, and how they want to pass that on. Pretty much, if you were going to write a letter to your younger self, like what would you, like what are the things that you want yourself to know? Well, we're going to glean some things from a person that all of you know who is looking back and trying to help the next generation along. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. It's not the heavy hitter like Psalm 23 or Psalm 91. Psalm 37, this small little psalm that's out there and that I want to dive right into it. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 of David. Stop. I'm just going to stop right there. We're not even going to get into it. Stop. This is David. You know that David? David and Goliath, David. David that we did a whole sermon series on last year, that David, right? David. He writes this psalm. And before we get into it, jump down to verse 25. He says, I was young and now I'm old. He's writing this psalm from an older perspective. David's older at this point, and he wants to share with you and me some things that he has learned over the course of his life, and he wants to share with you some wisdom that he has gleaned. And so, with that being in mind, we know the source, we know when. Let's dive in. David saw some stuff, by the way, and let's see what he has to say. Do not fret because those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like the green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. Anybody want to take a wild guess stab on where we're going to land our verse here today? Right? You get it right there. Be still and wait patiently for him. Be still before the Lord. Do you ever notice that older people are never in a hurry? You ever notice that? How many, like, some of you have driven behind them on a Sunday morning, right? They have nowhere to be. They're not rushing. They're not making deadlines. They're just doing their own thing. Right? Like they, and David, at some point, I don't know where he is in his age, but he realizes that there is a good thing to actually be patient and to wait and to be still before the Lord. David begins to understand this at one point. Being still is actually a source of maturity and growth. Rather than rushing here and there, right? Some of you have just recently retired and have found out the joy that comes, maybe not always rushing to the next thing, but taking some time. I had a chance to have some good breakfast. Oh, breakfast with some good folks here this week. You know, the opportunity that, so here's David, and he looks, what he wants to pass on to the next generation, as he looks to one who's behind him, he wants to pass on some things. Don't fret, don't worry, commit your ways, and be still before the Lord. Take a breath, and be patient, and wait on God. But you know as well as I do, we live in a microwave society. We want things now. Now, right? Your computer takes 30 seconds to load an app and we're throwing it out the window, right? And we're called to be still and slow down. And this is what David wants to pass on. And so we're gonna be challenged here this week because, like, what's your default response to some things? Like, how your knee-jerk reaction. Like, David wants us to change, so he says, don't fret. He's going to say, commit. In fact, it's right here. Like, what is your default response to worry or anything else in your life? And what would you like your default response to be? Look, all these things we just read. He says, don't fret. He says, trust. He says, commit and be still. David is trying to change the way that we immediately respond to some things. Mostly he's talking about worry and stress, which, by the way, I know that 100% of you are struggling with on a daily basis. Stress, anxiety, worry. It's proven. 92% say they struggle. The other 8% just don't report. Right? Every single person in this room struggles with something level of anxiety or worry. And David gets to the end of his life, and he says, hey, here's some important things that I want to pass on to you, how you can make your life better. Don't fret, trust, commit, be still. All I'm trying to do is hear, what is our default response? Where do we automatically go when things get stressful? What's our automatic response to certain stimuli? Do we panic or freak out? Do we have a stress fest? Tab calls me the hot mess express sometimes, right? Like, do we have panic attacks or anxiety? Or can we begin to do the things that David sees as very important as he looks over the course of his life? You know, if you wanted the next generation to maybe understand some things, what would those things be? Where are the areas that you have struggled that you wish your kids don't struggle with? That's exactly what David is trying to do. Pass something on to you that you can glean and take with you and walk in this relationship with God and find life to be a lot less and a lot more. Right? And that's why I came across this psalm and I'm reading it and I'm like, wow, David's heart is on display. David saw some crazy things. He had been through some crazy things. And yet he gets to the end of his life and he's saying, no, where you're going to find yourself, where you're going to find hope and where you're going to see God is when we begin to trust, when we give him some things, when we're not biting our nails and fretting, and when we actually are going to sit and wait and be patient. That's hard. Because if you're like me, your default is to do none of these to do none of these things. Right? No. What do? I worry. Like I'm gonna freak out about that. Like, even though like it's proven 100 times that it's not gonna turn out like that, that one time it might turn out like that. Right? I'm gonna have a panic attack. I'm not gonna trust, I'm gonna panic. Right? I'm not gonna commit. No, I'm gonna do nothing. I'm not gonna give it to God. No, I'd rather hold on to it because I like controlling it. And then most importantly, be still. No, I have to do right now. I have to get it done. I have to make this work, even though it's beyond your control. And David begins to understand something. So, all I'm asking is, what is your default reaction to worry? And it doesn't just have to be worry. What is your default reaction when it comes to anything that comes in your life that distracts you from God? And what would you like your default response to be? And that's where David writes this psalm. That's where he's coming from this place. He's learned a thing or two as he's older. And are we able to glean from those? All of you had people who've spoken into your life. Maybe they were older, maybe they were wiser, and I hope that you have listened to them. Or maybe you got to a point in your life and you're like, they were right. And here's David saying, I want you to understand this. So, as we get into these 3 points, I want to take a look at what your default reaction is to some things. And then begin to change our desire to what they can be. Let's pray. Lord, would you guide and lead us today in this truth? Would you mold us into the person you are desiring us to be? Lead us in this truth. Lead us in this hope. Lead us in to understand this principle. And let us stop struggling with all the ways that we've struggled. Thank you, Jesus. Let us be people who see your hand at work. Let us be people who carry the torch to the next generation and even change the way we instantaneously respond to things. Lord, change our character, change our heart. Whether it's worry or whatever it might be, Lord Jesus, bring us to a place of trust. Bring us to a place of putting everything before you. Bring us to a place of no worry, but just peace. And most importantly, let us be still before you when we have to do, and we have to control, we have to do everything. No, Lord, you tell us to wait patiently before you. Holy Spirit, come and help us to begin to understand this. Change our immediate response to be one that is more in line with Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's take a look at the first one. What's your default reaction to stress? Let's take a look. He's going to go through here, and notice there's 2 things I want you to see. He says, don't fret when those who are evil are envious of those who do wrong, for they are like grass. And then he says, don't fret when people succeed in their evil ways. He says the same thing twice. And he says, don't worry. Don't panic. Don't be envious or jealous when you see things go the way that you don't want them to go. By the way, what is one nugget of wisdom that somebody has spoken into your life? If somebody was trying to pass some good information onto you, did a grandfather or grandmother give you like a nugget of wisdom that you held on to? I can remember somebody saying to me, nobody gets to the end of their life and wish they spent more time at work. I remember hearing that. Some of you, like Jason, think I don't really spend enough time at work. But, like, when you get to the end of your life, you're not going to wish you spent more days at the office. You're going to wish you invested it in the things that were of kingdom value and family value. And that was one nugget of wisdom that I really, really held on to. What am I making my life about? Where am I spending my time? What am I doing? You know, and he's going to say, don't fret. Don't worry. Don't stress. Don't compare. Take a breath when you see things going the way that you don't want them to do, because God is in control and God has a plan and a purpose. Like, what is our default response when things don't go our way, when we want to control, when we see things happening, whether it's on the political scale or on a family scale, or when we just want to just panic or stress, he says, don't fret. Because it's gonna get worked out. God has a plan and a purpose. Don't fret. Don't panic. Don't freak out. Look what he also says. Look at this. He says, the blameless spend their days under the Lord's care. Their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. It's going to be okay. It's going to work out. God is going to make a way. And then he even goes, he even goes further. I love this. I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. That's our default. It's all going to fall apart. It's all going to be over. I'm going to be living on the street somewhere. Right? David says, I was young and now I'm old, and I've seen one thing that's a consistent. God comes through for those who love him. That God is consistent. That God isn't like us where he just forgets the memo. Like, oh, that was today? Like, whoops. That's not who God is, because that's outside of his character. What is your default to when things don't go your way? He says, don't fret and don't worry. Why? Because I've seen God move. And I know who he is. And I know what he can do. That's why he says, trust and commit and don't worry and be still. What's your default reaction to stress or when things don't go your way? What is your immediate response? And most importantly, what do you want to happen in your heart? Where do I want to change? What do I want to know? Where do I want to call back where God has moved? Be still and wait, is what he says. Slow down. Take a breath. Don't panic. This is David, right? Slinging that stone, seeing God move, being on the run, hiding out in a cave, right? Seeing him, seeing the horrific consequence of his own sin, his son rebelled, and here at the end of his life, he's writing this and saying, I've seen God move in mighty ways. And there's one constant, God's in control. Are we people that could just take a breath, slow down, and actually allow the only person to handle our stress, our situation, that can do anything about it? And that's God. Rather than saying, no, I'd rather hold on to this for a little bit longer, because I'm so good at dealing with this. That's a no. So the first thing, what is your default reaction to stress? And what do you want it to be? Number two, what is your default reaction to wisdom? To godly wisdom. I've seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxurious native tree, but soon passed away, and he was no more. Though I looked for him, I could not find him. Consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits for those who seek peace. Look, notice David is sharing from personal experiences. This is what I've seen. This is what I understand. I love getting an opportunity to hear personal stories of those who have gone through some things, because you get a chance to glean from those individuals. That's why I spent every single moment with Peter and Ann Hensel that I possibly could. If you don't know, they were some really dear saints in our church, and they were amazing, and they lived through some crazy times. And they were from Hamburg, Germany, and they lived in occupied Germany, and they talked about this, how God had moved, and They told some amazing stories, and I love to hear stories, because guess what? Every now and then, they would just give you that nugget of wisdom that you would just hold on to. You're like, oh my gosh. Like, you've been through it. And God moved, and God came through. What's your default reaction to when you hear wisdom? Do we shake it off or don't apply it, or do we begin to understand? This is what the whole book of Proverbs is about, what Solomon wanted people to know. Take this with you, apply this, understand this, and things will go better for you. And this is what it's about. We try to do this for our kids, right? We give our kids wisdom all the time so they don't struggle with the same things that we struggle with, right? That we hope that they will glean from us and they don't have to find out the hard way like we did, because we went through certain things and have gone through certain things. And we just long that our kids, the next generation, doesn't have to struggle with this. But you know how frustrating it is when you tell them that this is something you should know and they don't apply it to their heart and go through the same thing and they come crawling back and they're like, oh, you didn't even know in the first place. You're like, duh, right? The same is true for you. This is no offense. But the same is true for you. When David's saying, listen, this is what I want you to know. We're like, bah, I'll figure it out on my own. These are principles that we should begin to apply to our lives, that God wants us to understand. He's in control. He knows your situation. Don't fret. Don't panic. Give to Him. Trust in Him. And every now and then, take a breath. David found out the hard way. David was broken before the Lord when Nathan came up and said, you are the man. David was fearing for his life running from Saul. David was probably just on cloud nine when he saw God move in that sling and that stone. And was able to share, I've seen God move in amazing ways. He was broken hearted when his son rebelled against him and was killed. David had been through the ringer. And he's desiring that we glean from his wisdom and apply it to our lives here today. David is doing the exact same thing. Wait patiently on God. Trust with Him with all your ways. And so my challenge is, we talked last week about the source and the authority tells us when we should calm down or not, right? That if we trust the individual who's saying, take a breath, that we would begin to do it because we understand the value in doing so. And here's David saying, I've seen a thing or two, and I want to pass this on to you. Be still and wait patiently on God. What is your default reaction to wisdom? When somebody's sharing these with you, I'll figure it out on my own, or I'm going to begin to apply this to my life. David wants us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to begin to apply these principles to us. And he wants to see things go better for you if we were to begin to apply this. What's your default reaction to stress? What do you want it to be? What's your default reaction to wisdom? Do we apply it or do we ignore it? And lastly, where is your default shelter? Take a look. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. This is all laid out in verse 39. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. David knew a thing or two about trying to hide and trying to find a place that was safe. At one point, none of his kingdom was safe because he was on the run. In fact, at some point, he even takes up residence with the Philistines because Saul was all over the place. He was outcast from his home. And the place where he found security and peace and a source of shelter was in the Lord. The Lord helps and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. David sees God move in amazing ways. He saw deliverance as he put his hope and trust in the Lord. Where do we run to when things go bad? What do we run away to? Where's your default space when things go bad? One time, I ran into the bedroom, I threw my head on the pillow and I screamed one time, and Tabitha goes, what are you doing? Right? One time. I said, this is where I need to be. Right? I said, get out! Right? She was right, right? Absolutely. It did nothing. The place where we run to tells us kind of a thing or two that's going on right here. I'm going to run to the Lord. I'm going to seek shelter in Him. He's the safe place. He's the one that's in control. He's the one that will bring deliverance. David knew it, and he wants you to know it too. Where's our default to shelter? Where do we run to? Or where do we run away? Right? We run away. We don't deal with situations. We run away because God has a plan and a purpose, but in our own selfish desire, we can figure it out. I can do it on my own. God wants to begin to do a work here today as we are people who run to Him in these. Where's our default space? What's our default reaction when it comes to things that don't go our way? Where we want deliverance, or we want some place that is peaceful, where we want to kind of offload the things that's on our heart. When we can't control the situation, where do we go? And God is saying, come to me. Find safety, security, peace in me. Where is your default shelter? So, let me visit this question again. Where is your default relationship with God? What is it? What does it look like? How do we deal with stress? How do we deal with anxiety? How do we deal, are we people who can be people who can trust and don't fret and commit our ways to Him, to give Him those things, and then be people who actually sit and wait on Him and receive the rest that comes through Him? What's your default? You stay there and I'll stay here. Or I'll draw close to you in these times. David, if there's one thing, God looked out over the horizon when David was probably a very young boy. Before David did anything, he looked over the landscape and said, this is a man after my own heart. Because he knew that David had one default setting when it came to trouble. He ran right to God. And if there's anything we see, David is a man of prayer. David was a man who ran right to God, and he's found the peace and deliverance that came through him. And so today, we have the opportunity to change kind of our default setting. If any of you ever gotten a new phone, a new computer, and you got to change all the little settings in there, right? Because what it does isn't where it should be, and you're like, why is this thing doing this way? Well, you got to change the setting, right? Today is a day where we have to begin to change the way that we routinely do things in our life, and the way we act and respond to certain things. We need to say, today I'm going to commit this to God, or I'm going to give this to Him, or I want Him to move in this, or I will be still here today because I trusted who He is. David had a great relationship with God. He's passing that on to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, and we can do that too. So let us respond to His wisdom. Let us respond with a default setting to chase after God, to run towards Him and not away. Let's pray. Lord, today's the day where we want to change the way that we do things and the way that we respond in certain ways. It is You and You alone, Jesus, that allows us the peace and the trust to be a mighty source of strength when we can't do it all on our own. Lord, let us change our default setting and run right to You. Let us glean wisdom from those who have gone through it, those who have been through the ringer, and let us apply it to our own lives and our own hearts. Thank You, Jesus, for the hope we have in You. Thank You for what we can do today to commit You to You in this time. Lord, if there's somebody struggling out there today with something that we want to commit to You, I pray that it would happen in this space, that we would make sure that we take time with You to change the way that we instinctively respond and to find a place of trust and peace and stillness. Thank You for the hope we have in You. Thank You for the peace. And let us respond differently in the way that we have in the past by applying this wisdom to our lives to go forward in the future. Change us, mold us, equip us, prepare us to be people who wait patiently on You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.